This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Presenting Carly and Callum, your serial offenders on Joy 94.9.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Ah, good morning, Melbourne.
Good morning. Do you know, I think today's going to be a very good day, Callum.
A very good day.
I've already been told I'm beautiful.
Really? By who?
I got off the train this morning.
Yeah. Oh,
well, I was walking down Collins Street, and a man, he was really inebriated, and he was asking me for a cigarette. And I said, no, sorry, darling, I don't. And he said, you are beautiful.
Oh.
You know what? Today is going to be a good day.
Today's a big day. We have reached 350 likes on our Facebook page.
Which means we're only 50 likes away from listening to Callum play the trombone to the Wonder Woman theme song.
Live on air. I'm really sorry about... I'm apologising in advance now.
Oh, no need to apologise. The worse, the better, I feel.
Not for people who have to listen to it. Like, if you just suddenly tune in and there's a terrible trombonist, you know, it'd be... No, it wouldn't be worse than having the bagpipes. Nothing's worse than having the bagpipes. Anyway, big show. We're going to be reading our film noir section out. I'm very, very excited.
Yes, so it had to include In the Studio with Poisoned Cereal in the style of film noir.
Yes. Thank you very much, Vlad, who got in and texted in the topic.
Yes, I had lots of fun with that. We also have the one of the directors of Shadow Electric, which is a really beautiful bar in Abbotsford Convent, but they're also running an outdoor cinema at
Sounds
the moment.
Fantastic.
And really awesome curation.
And we have a member from Bicycles for Humanity coming in, a charity that is all about getting secondhand bicycles to third world countries to help enable villages and people over in there. And they're having a charity on the 15th of March. We'll let you know how you can get all in on that. Raise some money for a good cause. It's going to be awesome. Going to love it. Going to be great. Going to be sweet. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is a brand new day. Oh, that's going to be my earliest segue ever.
No
new
way.
Day and by the Shapeshifters.
And he's earlier than that before, Callum.
Really?
What are you talking about?
Really?
Oh.
Hope you're having a lovely morning. You're on Joy 94.9 with the Serial Offenders, Carly and Callum. Wink.
But let me explain. When we die, our bodies become the grass, and the antelope eat the grass. And so we are all connected in the great serial of life. Joy 94.9.
Never.
Never ever. So it's time, Callum, for us to read our film noir pieces. So let's do it like last week. I'll read yours and you can read mine.
Okay. We need to thank Vlad, who texted in last week and was gave us our theme. So for our film noir, it was The Serial Offenders, killed with poisoned cereal in the studio. Who wants to go first? Do you want to go first or will I go first?
Well, I went first last time.
So you did?
Oh, did I? I can't remember.
Neither.
You can go first.
Okay. All right. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I will be reading Carly's attempt at the film noir genre. I was going to say attempt at mine as well. Jeez.
Love it.
Colonel Mustard didn't go out much. His partner, Reverend Green, was charged with grievous bodily harm to Mrs. Peacock in the greenhouse with the spanner back in 2014. Society was still getting over it. Carly was nervous, and her face showed it. On the rare occasion Colonel Mustard felt the need to contribute to conversation, he spoke with a poetic whisper, leaving Carly Ann to smear the air with the thickness of her nervous chatter. The lift to Joy 94.9 studio was a painful journey. Carly Ann already annoyed Colonel Mustard before their interview had even began. Callum was eating cereal and reading the paper at the table in reception. Callum was sus on Colonel Mustard. He'd watched the case closely and was never truly convinced the Colonel was innocent. Carly Ann made the 3T before setting up the studio for their interview. Carly Ann was fiddling with the leads under the desk when Callum found a dead fly on the windowsill. was almost a maggot. He was reciting the dead specimen's properties. Colonel Mustard swiftly poisoned Callum's cereal and Carly's tea. Out came Carly from the studio and down sat Callum at the desk. Carly didn't care for warm tea, nor did Callum for soggy cereal, so Jeff cleared the dishes, leaving Colonel Mustard agonizing over not being able to take over the airwaves as their replacement.
Bang! Crash! Bing bong!
Jeff met his fate in the kitchen with a poisoned cereal by Colonel Mustard.
You do that voice so well.
Thank you very much.
So well.
Yeah, I really had a ball doing this one. Love it.
Oh my, okay. So 0427Joy949. How was the story? How was Cullen's
like
voice?
What's going on? Also, just commenting on this one.
Hello and welcome to the studio, David.
Good morning.
Now, you are the director of Shadow Electric.
Yeah, that's right. One of the directors is me and my old mate Jay Rayner, and together, yeah, we're the founding directors.
Now, can you tell me, so Shadow Electric is run all year as a bar live music venue?
Yeah, so basically we started at the Abbotsford Convent about 4 years ago, and for the first few years we just operated during the summer months, running an outdoor cinema and a bar, table tennis competition, sort of just a hangout, like a youth centre for adults. but we sort of evolved and to incorporate live music events, and now we've sort of pretty much been running all year round since last summer and are doing the same this year and hosting indoor band room events and doing a few outdoor bits as well. At the moment, we're in the midst of our sort of peak cinema season, so we're screening films about 6 nights of the week and generally have 1 or 2 music events a week.
Beautiful. And so what I found so fascinating was the style of curation that you have got for your movies this season. Is there like running themes that you have through the movies?
I think we've honed our sort of curatorial voice over the years. When we first started, we did have a lot of sort of left of center art housey sort of stuff, and which was great, but it's not necessarily what people want to watch in the peak of summer in an outdoor sort of movie setting. So we've kind of, you know, found a nice balance of sort of left of center sort of contemporary stuff, and then also like a lot of music documentaries. We've got a really amazing sound system there, like more powerful than any other sound system you're going to find in any other cinema, and so music documentaries really sort of tear the roof off there. Opening night film this year was Talking Heads Stop Making Sense,
a
concert film.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much just turned into a party with people dancing in the aisles. And that's not the first time that's happened. We showed LCD Sound System, Shut Up and Play the Hits. I think we showed that four times the year before last. And we showed the unedited concert footage, which goes for 4 hours. And it was like being at a gig at the Forum. You had like people jumping around up the front. You had the music nerds in the middle sitting down. And then you had like, you know, people like sipping on drinks trying to pick up the back. So it was kind of
sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was exactly like being at a gig. So, you know, that's, we're really passionate about music documentaries, and that sort of generally takes up 10-20% of our program. And then it's just got to do with what's coming out, you know, what's coming out from, you know, what's coming out from the studios in Hollywood, what's coming out off the festival circuit, what we find exciting, and then also what older titles are now available to us, you know, in the digital realm. So, you know, we've got Zach Hepburn is our sort of program director this year, and he's sort of pretty well known cat around town in the film industry. He's a film correspondent for ABC Morning Radio. He also is on television a fair bit, and sort of also writes for The Age and a few people, and absolute sort of kind of charismatic film nerd. So it's good to have some like him on board to sort of make the big educated decisions, you know,
as to what you're going to play. Now, it's no movie cinema unless you have Tight Ass Tuesday.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it's pretty much in the charter of getting a cinema license, if such a thing exists.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You just won't succeed if you don't have Tired Ass Tuesday. And you've got Charlie's Country playing on one of those days, which is one of my favourite Australian films now. I've seen it a couple of times.
I don't think I've seen it or know anything about it.
It's beautiful.
You're beautiful.
Thank you.
Yes, it's a Rolf Doerr film. It's as a lot of his films have sort of concentrated on Indigenous Australian sort of subject matter and themes. And, yeah, this one has really sort of gotten sort of a lot more widespread acclaim than sort of some of his other films even. Like Ten Canoes was his sort of other big film.
Ah, yes.
It may have even been nominated for an Oscar for Best Foreign Film, I think.
I think that could be correct.
Yeah, it's done all in subtitles, so it's the native language.
Oh, fantastic.
It's based around Cairns.
Next week we've got something a little bit more familiar to a lot of people. We actually got our Twin Peaks Firewalk with Me.
Yeah. Oh, I've been re-watching Twin Peaks because it's coming back.
I think a lot of people are re-watching it right now.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that one's actually selling like hotcakes, so I wouldn't sleep on that one. And that's going to be a really good one. I'm not sure if you guys have been down there to the comment, but, you know, one of the main parts about The Shadow Electric isn't just the films, it's the experience overall. You get there and you sort of get a drink and you get some food, and just as it gets dark, about 5,000 bats fly over from Yarrabend to...
It's almost like the curtains opening, but instead it's all leathery and flappy as it goes by the screen.
Exactly right. So as leathery, flappy bats are flying overhead, the screen rolls
the best
down
kind of bats.
And it all just, you know, the atmosphere kicks in. I think for Lynchian kind of content, that would work.
Could you train them to sit in front of the screen and then when Firewalk With Me starts, have them fly off? Do you have enough time to do that?
I've got people working on that now.
Very good man.
Yep.
But also very fitting for tomorrow's date.
Yes, Friday the 13th. Yeah, so I think we're going to try and get them to sort of, you know, maybe drop ice cubes into people's drinks or something like that. So,
a little bit spooky.
Yeah, well,
be careful of, they carry some sort of hideous disease. Can't remember which one it is.
Yeah, not our bats.
No?
No, of course not. We only use the finest bat.
Oh, of course. I see. Yes. You have finely bred bat. Yes.
So tomorrow night the 13th, we are showing the classic Scream. So that will be...
The first one?
Yeah, the first one. Yeah.
That will be
a riot outdoors. And that kind of stuff, it really works well in that kind of environment where everyone can kind of, you know, yell.
You freak out so much more though, wouldn't you? Because you're out and about and you're like, oh, great. Someone's just going to sneak up behind me while I'm watching a movie and kill me ironically. It's fantastic.
It's in a convent that was built, you know, over 100 years ago as well.
Awesome.
Yes, the creepiness. So I would get onto that one. That was selling pretty well. Well, actually, if you want to touch on that $12 Tuesdays, there are a few other interesting ones. A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which is an Iranian vampire film.
Mm. Do you think there'll be many girls doing that after the film?
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. So, we always recommend to... make sure you check public transport options before you get there. So that's probably the other really good, exciting one.
Beautiful. So where do people go if they want to get involved and come see a movie?
So there's always good old Facebook, facebook.com/ShadowElectric. And then our website, which is shadowelectric.com.au. And if you're especially interested in the Tuesdays, shadowelectric.com.au/Tuesdays. So, yeah, get onto it. Tickets for the whole season are really starting to sell pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And which is great because there's nothing more fun than going to a cinema when there actually is a bunch of people that are really excited to be there.
Yeah.
It sort of gets a little bit sort of, you know, when you're there and you're hearing your own laugh echo, it can be a little bit daunting. So, yeah, so the sessions are starting to sell really well. So it's a fun time to be down there.
Now, I went and saw the Fela Kuti documentary 2 weeks ago. And so the chairs are comfortable. The sound's amazing. Just take a blanket and you'll be fine.
Take a blankie.
And I'd also recommend going to see the bands.
We've got Jen Chloe coming up doing her 7-inch launch, and Hate Rock playing there in a few weeks. We just had World's End Press the other day, and we had the guys from Closet did a party there on Australia Day as well. So yeah, there's a whole sort of other sort of program of other events going on there aside from just cinema. There's a lot of sort of band music, and in the colder months we even do a little bit of theatrical stuff also.
Awesome.
That's very artistic.
Well, we'll have to get you back when it's winter.
Great, fantastic. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks so much for coming in.
David Chestwick from Shadow Electric there. Go out, have a nice time, enjoy some well-trained bats. Do it.
For your daily vitamin C, listen to Carly and Callum on The Serial Offenders, Joy 94.9.
22 minutes to 9, and we do have Matt in the studio from Bicycles for Humanity. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me in.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about Bicycles for Humanity, if you please, and thank you?
Sure. So Bicycles for Humanity is a volunteer-run charity organisation. It's global, but each chapter is completely independent. So there's chapters all over the world. The mm-hmm. first one in Australia is in Melbourne. And now we have one in Sydney, one in Perth, one in Adelaide, and one also in Auckland.
Oh, nice.
So we're focused on breaking the cycle of poverty through providing sustainable transport, obviously in the form of a bicycle. So what we do is we get that old bike from the back of your garage or your yard mm-hmm. or your stairwell, wherever it is, and we pack it into a 40-foot shipping container with about 400 other bikes. And we send it somewhere where it will be used to actually make a huge difference to someone's life.
Fantastic, because it gives them easier access to water, for travel, to work, to get to school, all those sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah. So the general statistic is a bike in the developing world means that you can travel twice as far, twice as fast, and carry four times as much. So you're exactly right. This means access to education, healthcare, fresh food and water, economic opportunity, and an even wider community, which is vitally important, of course.
Awesome. Fantastic.
And we're just reusing those bikes that have been sitting there doing nothing for yeah. ages.
With their tyres just going flat in the garage.
Yeah, I feel like many, many households in Australia would have at least two bikes that are ready to get on that shipping container.
No, that's right. The whole project is based on the idea that everyone has an old bike at the back of it, and they kind of do. You know, that's clear because we've set up partnerships where the bikes just keep on coming, you know, and really our challenge as a volunteer-run organisation is keeping up with the volume of bikes that we get with volunteer time and also funds to, you know, fund shipping a 40-foot shipping container over to mostly Africa at this point.
Yeah, fantastic. Do you know roughly how many bikes you've shipped so far?
About 4,500.
Bloody hell.
So we're just currently packing container number 12,
nice.
And that's over the last... Well, the last few years. I mean, we kicked off in 2009, so we're going a little while.
That's almost 1,000 a year. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, given there's no administration, there's no one paid, we're pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be very proud. Very nice.
And you are running a drive, ride, supporter motion at the moment, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, we're right in the middle of kicking off the, excuse me, the Melbourne to Namibia challenge. So this is a kind of self-run ride challenge where you commit to riding 110 kilometres over 3 days in the mm-hmm. middle of March and hopefully meet us for our finish event down at South Wharf on the 15th of March. And when you do that, there's a small fundraising kind of goal to hit, which is just $110. So the kilometres match the dollars. And the whole idea behind this is it's 11,000 kilometres to Namibia from here, where many of our projects are based. And so getting 100 people to ride 110 kilometres kind of covers that distance, both figuratively and literally, and provides the funds to ship more bikes at the same time. Now, it's important for me to say that if you raise $110... we send you a riding support pack with a whole lot of stuff, lights, bike computer, a bike bag. It's actually over $200 worth of stuff. So, you know, I hate to use the words...
Hang on.
I hate to use the words no-brainer when associated with a charity event, but it's a pretty good deal. And, of course, you know, if you're new to riding, this is possibly quite a reasonable challenge to look at.
You've got a month, that's like...
You've got a few weeks to get ready and then 3 days to cover. And you could do 11, 10-kilometre rides over those 3 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
nice and cruisy 250. Ones.
Yeah, you know, just take it at whatever pace you like. But it's always going to be good for you. I mean, riding makes you healthier and happier and, you know, all of those benefits.
I recently gifted myself a bike and just started riding again. I absolutely adore it.
Okay, we'll have to get
you
on board.
Oh, you'll have to do it.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. I'm already thinking I've got a riding buddy who's a much better rider than I am, but then I have... he's got like a mountain bike and I have a road bike, so it's really easy for me to keep up with that.
Yeah, sure. until you go on the single track. Then
yeah, and then I am absolutely bugged. But yeah, so I'm like, all right, I'll get him involved. I'll get my sisters involved as well. We'll see what we can do. Because it's an awesome idea. How do you police how many kilometres people have done, or is it like an honour system?
Well, look, once we get close to the point, the plan is that you raise the funds before the weekend, we send you the bike computer and you're able to log those kilometres on the bike computer, and we're just putting the functionality in place that you will be able to, you know, plug that into your fundraising page. You can set up when you go to the website at bicyclesforhumanity.com. That said, you could not ride.
I was going to say, they're not going to not take your money because you didn't ride.
We would prefer that you got the benefits of doing the ride and everything, but, you know, ultimately the result for us is we want to fund more bikes to the developing world. So, you know, let's be clear about that.
Yeah, money's going to a charity, not going to be devastated if there are a few white lies about the amount of distance you've gone.
No, I don't think we're going to come track you down about that.
But reaping benefits all the same for healthy living. So,
indeed, yes.
Wonderful. Well, how do people get involved?
Well, look, the best way is go to the website, bicyclesforhumanity.com. And you can follow the links from there. Up on the front page is a big poster. You just follow the links through. You can register there. It will obviously send you an email so you can activate it. Just check your spam folder, of course, always with those things. And then once you've done that, you can set up a fundraising page. Once your fundraising page is set up, then you go tell your friends and family to support you.
Give me money. It's for a good cause.
Right, and I can get some stuff. And then hopefully meet us down at South Wharf on the final weekend. So you finish your final ride planned to end there.
Nice.
And we've got an event with a whole lot of stuff going on, which I will release the details of soon on the website. Still finalizing a few bits and pieces.
Well, we've heard it here first, ladies
That's
and gentlemen.
Right.
Wonderful. Well, looking forward to getting involved with Bike Riding for Humanity over March. I'm not going to do it, but I have got my brother and my stepdad who are fanatic, and I'll make them do it, and I'll donate.
Maybe Jess and I could go on a ride date.
Oh, any excuse to go out on a date with
my
brother.
Well, he's handsome, okay? just leave me be. Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, awesome. Have a great day. If you have a bike that's sitting collecting dust in the shed, give it a new lease on life. It's like going to the RSPCA and picking up a dog. You know, do it. Do it now.
Fun people, fun shows. Joy 94.9.
How to do it. Are we going to do a little bit of a reread?
Yes, definitely. But this time we're going to read our own. So, Callum, take it away with your... do you have the film noir bed?
I do.
Put it on.
I've made that bed and I'm going to lie in it. The elevator dinged as it reached the end of its journey. The ninth floor. I found myself at the top of a building, a glass security door standing between me and my next case. It was early. Too early for me to be out of bed and far too early for anyone to even consider committing murder. Yet there I was. I did my best to stifle a yawn as a short man with a mustache and cardigan opened the door for me. A cardigan? Really? In this heat? His red-rimmed eyes told me he'd been crying, and I didn't blame him. From what I'd heard, these kids were only just getting into their stride, starting to make a name for themselves. What a pity. They would have been big. As I was led into a soundproof studio, I glanced up at a TV screen hanging from the ceiling, a digital clock ticking quietly away, its face indifferent to the wasted talent that lay before it. Plastered over the bottom of the screen was, "It's 7 minutes past seven." As I got out my notepad, I couldn't help but think, "It's handy. I wouldn't even need to check my watch." A young, handsome man lay slumped in a chair in front of a desk covered in buttons and dials, one hand still tightly clutching a spoon, a spilt bowl of cereal slowly soaking into the carpet at his feet. On the floor opposite lay a girl face down in her own bowl, purple fringe dripping milk over the side. It was the ultimate irony. Poison in the serial offender's cereal. If it wasn't such a tragedy, I might have smiled. A red light flashing in the corner caught my eye. With every pulse of light, it seemed to yell, "Watch what you say, because when the mics are on, there are no secrets." That was almost true. There was one. Who killed the serial offenders?
Who did kill them, I wonder? Now, are we going to go straight to mine, or are we going to...
I reckon go straight to yours.
I think so too, because otherwise we'll run it.
All right.
Okay, let's go. Colonel Mustard didn't go out much. His partner, Reverend Green, was charged with grievous bodily harm to Miss Peacock in the greenhouse with the spanner back in 2014. Society was still getting over it. Carly was nervous, and her face showed it. On the rare occasion Colonel Mustard felt the need to contribute to conversation, he spoke with a poetic whisper, leaving Carly Ann to smear the air with the thickness of her nervous chatter. The lift to Joy 94.9 studio was a painful journey. Carly Ann already annoyed Colonel Mustard before their interview had even begun. Callum was eating cereal and reading the paper at the table in reception. Callum was sus on Colonel Mustard. He'd watched the case closely, and he was never truly convinced Colonel was innocent. Carly Ann made the three T's before setting up the studio for their interview. Carly Ann was fiddling with the leads under the desk when Callum found a dead fly on the windsill. It was almost a maggot. He was reciting the dead specimen's properties. Colonel Mustard swiftly poisoned Callum's cereal and Carly's tea. Out came Carly from the studio and down sat Callum at the desk. But Carly didn't care for warm tea, nor did Callum for soggy cereal. So Jeff cleared the dishes, leaving Colonel Mustard agonizing over not being able to take over the airways as their replacement. Bang, crash, bing, bong! Jeff met his fate in the kitchen with the poisoned cereal by Colonel Mustard.
Beautiful.
There you have it.
There it is, our little take on film noir. Head to the Facebook page, facebook.com/serial offenders. Like the one you liked most, which means you're going to like mine.
No, mine.
Oh, hello. Someone's texted in. Those low voices are making me moist.
I don't know if that...
It's an anonymous text. And it's fantastic. I love it. Yeah, head to the Facebook page. Let us know who's got the stuff, who's got slightly less or more, you know, all the fun things.
The Serial Offenders are better than a big breakfast, but less nutritious on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.